and welcome to All About Brahma Kumaris. My name is Magla Pillay. I am a judicial officer from South Africa. We have here in the studio with us today B.K. Denise, who's been practicing Raj Yoga meditation with the Brahma Kumaris for the past 40 years. And in this show, we look at various aspects surrounding the Brahma Kumaris, how it functions, its relationship with the world, with its own members. And today's topic is, I think, a rather interesting one to spiritual people as souls, as well as people who do not lead a spiritual life. And the subject is one of death. I would like to know from Sister Denise how death is viewed in spiritual terms, how people react to death if they're leading a spiritual life, and how is death handled? Is it handled differently if one is spiritual? Is there the same amount of sorrow, or how does one go about it? For many, the fear of their own demise is the worst possible fear, and many live their lives in fear of that, of their own final moments. And so we decided to take up the subject to help people understand the subject of death more, and more specifically, how one can prepare for one's own demise. Obviously, it's something that's inevitable. Thank you, Sister Denise, and very warm welcome to today's show.
Thank you.
Okay. This subject might seem morbid to some, but we chose it anyway because there are a lot of unanswered questions about death. I notice a lot of people do not talk about death because they consider it to be a taboo subject, but we thought we'll display some myths that people have and ask you, how is death defined in spiritual terms?
Well, death is a pause on an eternal journey, where you come out from one costume and then you enter into another one.
Okay, death is a pause on an eternal journey of the soul.
Yes.
Of the soul. Okay, that's quite interesting. For many people, death is the end. Okay, birth is the beginning and death is the end.
Let me tell you a story. I was in Los Angeles at the time, and my brother, who was not in Brahma Kumaris, called me up and said, Denise, you have to come, and you have to come now. My wife is in hospital. She has very few days to go. I need you. So I dropped everything. I went there. And neither he nor his wife were particularly into spirituality at all, but when faced with this situation, she had a very rapid-moving multiple sclerosis, which scars all your nerves, and she was at a point where she was just lying in the hospital and only her eyes could move. That was it. And the hospital said to, this was in England, and different countries handle this differently, but in England, I think, in quite a good way. And they said, well, okay, here's the situation. There's nothing we can do for her. So you have three choices. We can give her full life support, and you can expect 2 weeks. We can give her partial life support, you can expect 1 week, or we can do nothing at all and her sickness takes its course and she will not be with you very long. So you, the family members, decide. So of course, my family members also were looking to me, well, what should we do? I didn't really say what I thought, but I kind of felt everyone, and somehow everyone agreed that, you know, we'll do nothing at all. We don't want to interfere with her leaving her body in a dignified way. And so I accompanied my brother a whole day, whole night with her. And, you know, clearly she could feel our presence and hear what we're saying, but she couldn't respond. And I remember that during that 1 week that she continued to be alive, it was very, very important for my brother to be able to talk about it. What is happening? What is a soul? You know, this is the time when I really need this. And in my family, there are many who are medical doctors. And so when she left the body, it was very peaceful, very beautiful. Everyone was with her. And then it became the funeral. Now, she had two very young children, I think 10 and 7. The daughter was 10, the son was 7. And, you know, we were able to really talk to the children about this. And when we were making all the arrangements for the funeral, it was really a celebration of her life. The daughter was a good musician, so she played piano in the service, and we decided everything with the priest in the church. It was a really very beautiful saying goodbye to her. And what was particularly significant is that the cousins and relatives who were from the medical world said to us, you know, we have never seen death handled like this. It was really extraordinary. For us, as medical doctors, when someone leaves the body, it means we have failed. So the whole thing of allopathic medicine is to keep a person in a body, because the belief is that is the end. Whereas what you're doing, they said to us, is something completely different, which we have never encountered. And we are very favorably impressed by it. Please explain what's going on here. So that situation of death was a very interesting moment where all of this could be, you know, you see a lifeless corpse, where is the soul, you see? And this is the question, because when you are there with the corpse of a loved one, there's also this awareness that people have, you know, next one could be me. And it makes you aware of your mortality. And you really, at that time, you feel it viscerally and you want to know, what is this? So you are very open to hearing about it. When you're not in any kind of environment where there's any death, you can very easily think about something else. You enjoy life while it's there. You don't think about this end point, which we call leaving the body. And so it happens very often that people who are in contact with us, not necessarily full students or whatever, but or maybe even relatives of people who are full Raj Yogis, whenever there is something like imminent death, they will turn to us, because we're always talking about the spirit. We're always talking about that which survives the body. So when you start really thinking about it, talking about it, practicing, preparing, we do prepare ourselves for death a lot, because it is said that your last thought leads you to your destination. So it's very important, and you don't know when you will die. So we really want to keep our consciousness in a very good condition, because it can happen just like that.
Well, it was quite a story. How do you help people overcome the very deep fear of the pause, as you call it, their final moments?
Well, they don't think it's a pause. They think it's the end. They think, I will cease to exist. And we would say that, well, it's not true. And whenever you have a thought that is not true, it creates a great deal of disturbance in the soul. That means you disturb yourself emotionally and psychologically. And it causes dysfunction in relationships, where you just block something which is actually part of life. So you need to Get people to hear about it, talk about it, get used to it. And every so often, you know, people die, and so then it comes right up in your face, and so you have to deal with it. And these are very good moments to help people to get across that fear.
So you started by defining death as the pause in one's eternal journey. So you're referring to the soul's pause in its eternal journey.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So the way people live, irrespective of the understanding of the soul or not, okay, let me put it this way. Outside spiritual circles, many globally understand that they have a soul. And yet there's a soul in existence somewhere in the body. And yet there's still a fear of death. How does one make that transition from that to what you just said?
They say, I have a soul. We say, I am a soul. It's different.
Okay.
I am a soul. I have a body. They would say, I am a body. I have a soul somewhere. We don't know where. You know, so you can't really have faith in something with understanding. You've heard there's a soul, but you don't know that you are a soul. And this simple expression is very, very deep, you see. You are a soul, you are not a body. Your body is an object, you see. And so you have to shift your awareness, shift your consciousness. You know, the seat of the soul is right in the center of the forehead. So I live here in this body, and I operate the body with my energy, and I interact with other people via their bodies, and I interact with the world via this body. But I am not a physical object.
Sister Denise, it surely must take a lot of deep spiritual practice, though, to shift from that, the way human beings currently function, to what you've just described, because it's exceptionally deep-seated. If a spiritual person finds himself in a swimming pool one day and he's drowning, then as a survival instinct, he'll grab onto another human being.
Well, no, I've had that experience.
What experience was that?
Wasn't in a swimming pool. It was actually in the ocean in a storm. And I thought, oh, you know, I could drown. And then the next thought was, but it isn't time. So therefore, I have to come out of this. So I pulled myself out of it and reached the shore. And definitely there was the feeling that, you know, my attention went immediately to God, that, okay, I can feel that this is not time for me to leave the body. If it is time, I can know. So one thing I experienced in that incident is I knew on a very deep level I'm not afraid of death, because it didn't create any kind of panic at all. It just made me evaluate, is this the moment or not? And my solution, my conclusion was, no, it's not now. But whenever it is, I'm ready.
That takes extraordinary presence of mind.
Well, I don't claim myself to be particularly extraordinary or have particular presence of mind, but I do think that really spending time thinking about it causes that understanding to go in deep, so that when the situation arises, it's right there.
So what you're saying is that as a yogi, you practice understanding yourself as a soul, you deepen your relationship with God, and that those two practices enables one to overcome one's fear of death.
I think there's more than that. You have to practice performing action in the consciousness of the soul, so that you really are aware on a very deep level that I am not this body. You know, this body is, you know, nowadays they have very good quality prosthesis for the war wounded and the people who get exploded by their landmines and so on. And these prosthesis are so sort of high tech that you can actually use them by the power of your mind. And this is the sort of latest thing. And this is exactly what you do with your actual body. You, with a thought, you think, okay, I'm going to put my hand over here and I'm going to get a glass of water and I'm going to drink. So every action is preceded by a thought in the soul, and then it translates itself into an action through the body. This is soul consciousness. We have to practice that.
Okay, and that will help one overcome one's fear of death?
Well, yes, because then you know that you're immortal. Mm. So you can't be immortal and have a fear of death.
I heard it once said that almost everyone who leaves the body and is about to pass away does so with a feeling of regret.
It depends on the individual. I'm okay. Sure that's very true in most cases.
Yes, I've heard this from a medical doctor. Why is that?
I think mostly because death is a taboo subject, you don't prepare for it. And if, part of our teachings is, live every day as if it is your last.
Okay, live every day as if it is your last.
So then there's not going to be that many things that you would regret, because if today is my last day, am I doing what I really want to do, or am I wasting my time or putting things off? You see, when you think about this, live every day as if it is your last, you make sure that you do what you want to do and there isn't regret. So I think mostly this regret is because of not really dealing with death. And there is literature about it, but it's taboo, as you said, and people don't like to talk about it. They think it's inauspicious, but in fact, it's a very interesting, deep, and important subject. Very often, children will ask about it,
Yes.
What
yes.
is death? Where is grandma?
Yes.
And they weren't told because, we didn't want to upset them. Well, that was very irresponsible. That means you're denying a person a very important part of life. And because the parents or the family themselves can't deal with death, they make sure that the children can't either.
You're...
Yeah. Really? So I would say, wait a minute, what are you doing? Death is part of life. You cannot live and not die. You see, it's a denial of the realities. This body is perishable. Mm. It gets old, it breaks down, and eventually you leave it. But then people say, okay, then what? Mm. This is why anybody who really thinks about these things has to come to terms with the question of reincarnation.
Okay, tell us about that.
Well, you came from somewhere. You got born. Your parents do not create your soul. They will create your body. But people don't think like that. They think, let's make a baby. And they think a baby is, a baby. But they don't think this is a soul who has come from somewhere into this embryo and then who lives, and you have the responsibility to take care of this child. And then a certain point comes where... you leave this body. This body is a vehicle. It's a house that you have on rent. You don't know when the lease is up. There are many analogies that you can give. It's an instrument. But you need to have this in the air. People need to be thinking about it. Otherwise, they say, you are black, or you are white, or you are young, or you are... of this nationality or of this religion. These are all to do with your instrument. So you are not your instrument, you're not your vehicle.
Yeah, Denise, what I'd like to take you up further on that aspect. To many, their body is inexorably linked with their identity.
Well, that's the thing. Okay. You identify with it.
Okay. And then by definition, they so what's the word, enmeshed with their bodies,
yes.
that they cannot separate themselves. Now, how does spirituality help one to see the light as far as that is concerned?
Well, that's the whole thing of spiritual practice, is to, in every possible way, see that I am not my body. To see this is like a car, you know, you get in your car, you drive it around, you reach somewhere, you park it, you get out of it. In the same way, you can be in your body, do things with it, and at the end of its use, you come out of it, you get another one. And you get a body according to your karma. This is one of the reasons why people are very afraid of death, is because your karma comes up for payment at that time.
It's a very common worldly expression, you only live once. And to that end, people live as if there is no tomorrow and behave in a manner that's extremely reckless. They consume things that they shouldn't consume, put things into their body, do things to their body that they shouldn't do, which is quite disrespectful towards it. Why is it such a deep-seated belief? Misconception that you only live once?
Well, it's part of the some of the religions. Some religions subscribe to reincarnation. Buddhism believes in reincarnation, but oddly enough, not in the soul and not in God. So it's very much a religion that focuses on karma, and that the you know, that there is continuity through karma, whereas the Abrahamic religions, Islam, Christianity, Judaism, they don't go for reincarnation. I think it's really Hinduism that talks about it the most, but then it says that, well, you reincarnate through all the different species of animals, and finally you become a human being, and that's not really very satisfactory either. So the Brahma Kumaris concept of reincarnation is a soul is a seed, and so whenever you plant a seed, you plant a soul in the earth of the body. As you know, it's dust to dust, ashes to ashes. So this is earth. You know, your body is 60% water. So sometimes in my classes, I'll tell people, you know, you're basically living in a leather bag full of warm mud with some structure, some bones to keep it in shape. And that's what's going on. You know, people don't like to hear that,
yeah,
but that's what's going on.
Sound a bit strange, doesn't it? Sound a bit strange to you? Yeah.
So, you know, you have to put it in so many different ways so that a person gets it, that this is not me. We don't say,
can I interrupt
you? We say,
you?
My hand.
For the skeptic out there that says, if this is not me, why is it that somebody hurts this, I feel pain?
Well, you do feel pain, but the soul feels pain. And that is an indication that, you know, you're alive.
I see.
Because if you're not there and you do something to the body, there's no pain.
Okay.
You know. So, you know, the soul is the seed planted in this body, and you have this body so that you can express yourself. Without the body, the soul can do nothing. And without the soul, the body can do nothing. So the two are inextricably merged together, but they are not one thing, they are two things. So, you know, the soul is a human soul, will get a human body. A dog soul will get a dog body. Elephant soul will get an elephant body. Like you plant a spinach, you're not going to get a mango. A spinach seed will produce a spinach. You know, a mango seed will produce a mango tree. It's a seed, a human living seed, and contained within that soul is everything that you will do through your body. So it's already in you.
I have to ask, what happens after the soul leaves the body?
Well, you will go at lightning speed, the speed of thought, to your next body. And
so
you will come into the womb And you will be in the womb for some time, and then you will emerge in a baby's body with your new mother and father and your new brothers and sisters, and you have a new life.
Well, unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. I find this subject quite riveting. And there you go. If you, like me, were wondering why the world population increased so drastically over the last 50 to 60 years, that is the answer provided by a senior yogi within the Brahma Kumaris. And we also learned today what practice one does to learn to teach yourself, rather, to face your final moments in this particular body, understanding yourself as a soul, and also taking power from God to do so. Death is a very interesting subject, and like Sister Denise, I'm also surprised that people do not talk about it more, because every human being should prepare for their own death, whether they know the date of that or not. We thank you for joining us today, and I hope you've learned something. I know I did. We will see you soon. Thank you for joining us, and goodbye.